The Buildings and Climate Global Forum. Catch up. Welcome to Construction and the Climate. This is a podcast series from 39 Essex Chambers with me, Camilla Tahar, and Ruth Keating.
In this podcast series, we'll be discussing the big climate issues affecting the construction sector.
Today, we're joined by Will Wilde. Will is the built environment lead at the Climate Champions team, where he supports the UN climate change high-level champions in accelerating the action and ambition of business and industry towards a decarbonised and resilient built environment. Will, we're thrilled you're here with us today because we're very interested to hear more about the inaugural Buildings and Climate Global Forum that took place recently. Please, could you explain to our listeners why the forum was organised?
Hi, Camilla. Hi, Ruth. It's great to be back. And I know it's only been 3 months since I was last here, but it really feels like a lot's happened. And you're right, over the weekend, I've just returned for the first Buildings and Climate Global Forum. And I think your question is a good one. Before we get into the details of the forum, you've got to ask, well, why are we having this forum? And the global stocktake, which I touched upon last time, gave a pretty clear message to national governments, one that we are not on track to meet the Paris Agreement. And the IPCC report has shown that the building sector is responsible for a fifth of all global greenhouse gas emissions. And despite the opportunity that the sector presents to do something, the sector itself is not on track. And this was made clear in the headlines from the Buildings Global Status Report launched at the opening of last week's forum. And so it's really within this context, right, of both not being on track and buildings being critical, that the Global Forum responded to. Organised by France and the UN Environment Programme, the forum really aimed to aggregate momentum across the value chain, between national governments and industry leaders, by bringing them together, particularly with ministers responsible for building regulations, with oversight over how buildings are shaped in various national jurisdictions. And in total, the event had over 1,000 people in attendance, with about 60 governments represented.
Well, that's a really helpful overview. I think one thing our listeners would love to hear about in terms of the forum is, first, what kind of themes were discussed at the forum? And second, you've given us an indication there of the kind of people who attended, so ministers responsible for building regulations. But what other kind of stakeholders did you meet and see at the forum when you were there?
The forum itself was held on the Thursday and Friday of last week, but actually a broad range of pre-forum events also got organised. So in effect, it really felt like a full week of events. And so within that, there was a whole host of different themes that got picked up on. One event that really stood out to me within the pre-forum was all focused on unpacking and understanding whole life carbon assessments in developing countries and the complexity that that brings. The official forum started on the Thursday with a big plenary event that really launched the headlines of the latest Buildings Global Status Report. This is the one I touched on a moment ago, and really provided a backdrop for the whole forum, reminding us that we're not on track. After this, the day hosted over 20 different thematic sessions covering a whole range of different topics, from urban planning, sustainable procurement, finance, insurance, and sufficiency. I won't list them all here, but across all of these sessions, there was a real message that the solutions exist, and the focus now is on how do we make sure that they are accessible to everyone. And there were quite a few different stakeholder groups delivering these sessions, from NGOs to business leaders, all of them also championing their own commitments and initiatives that they've made. Then on the Friday of the forum, that started with a large plenary event, bringing everyone together to reflect on the launch of a new ministerial declaration and the building's breakthrough priority actions. The rest of Friday saw the delivery of high-level dialogues, with ministers speaking directly alongside industry leaders on a range of topics. And in these, we heard many businesses advocating for the policies that enable the market. I felt these dialogues also drew out a good appreciation the different contexts within which each country comes to the table. Different climatic contexts, energy grids, urbanization pressures, affordability, and those living in informality. And the forum closed with a joint session right at the end called something like Paris to Belém, Belém being the city that will host COP30, which really had a session to reflect on the key achievements of the forum and saw the Minister of Cities from Brazil signpost the road to COP30. Overall, between the ministerial declarations, the plenaries, the roundtables, and the conference stall, it really felt like a mini COP for the building sector. Albeit compared to the actual COP, we had a lot more time to get into the weeds on some of the critical topics and those different regional perspectives.
Sounds fascinating, Will. I'm particularly interested to hear a little bit more about the ministerial declaration.
Of course. So this was really perhaps the highlight of the show. A key announcement on the Friday of the forum was the launch of the Declaration de Chaillot. This is a joint ministerial declaration backed by 70 countries and including the UK. The declaration is really a key step forward in the implementation of the Paris Agreement with a direct focus on the building sector. It sets out common principles and a cooperation framework to get countries working together. Within the declaration, there are also a number of key commitments countries have made. Commitments including the likes of implementing roadmaps, regulatory frameworks, energy codes, financial frameworks with tax incentives, promoting the adoption of labels, standards, and certificates, and a commitment to lead by example with ambitious public procurement policies. The declaration also establishes the setup of a governmental council who will meet regularly to share knowledge and assess the implementation of the declaration itself. And this is really important because it actually acts as a bit of a heartbeat to give the declaration life and legacy. For those that really want to get into the text of the declaration, it is publicly available. Perhaps there is a way to link it to the podcast. I'll leave that one to you.
Thanks, Will. I think that's a huge tangible part that came out at the forum. And another really tangible part that you discussed last time on the podcast was the buildings breakthrough. So it'd be really interesting to hear if there's any update on that. And as a second point related to that, Will, I think what comes out really clearly when you're describing all of the talks is this international component that comes out in all of the different discussions. So perhaps something on that international collaboration that we hopefully might see developing.
Last time we spoke was just after COP28. Where the buildings breakthrough had just been launched with the backing of 28 countries. The initiative basically forms a platform to advance international collaboration priorities under the headline goal of near zero and resilient buildings being the new normal by 2030. Since this launch, the Global Alliance for Buildings and Construction, who will act as the facilitator, have been working with these 28 countries to define 5 priority actions to focus efforts around. And the forum really saw the formal launch of these 5 actions. Now, the details of the actions are a bit more specific, but they focus on areas like harmonizing definitions and standards, scaling and aggregating demand for low-carbon buildings and their materials, scaling up coordination and availability of finance, aligning research, development, and deployment of key technologies, and identifying and enabling the critical capacity building needs to support the transition. The forum also saw the launch of the Market Transformation Action Agenda. This is an initiative by the World Business Council for Sustainable Development, which has seen over 200 organizations work together to distill and collaborate on 11 critical system intervention points to unlock the decarbonisation of the sector. The launch was endorsed by over 80 organisations, and this initiative really complements the Buildings Breakthrough. It provides a further platform to support international collaboration, one that is business-led and responds to the market barriers. And stepping back, the picture to take away here is that international collaboration has sort of got to a point where we have agreement on the key priorities. We know what needs doing. The focus now is on how we operationalize these platforms for rapid delivery.
Could you perhaps explain in a little more detail the role of the forum in influencing countries as they prepare their NDCs ahead of COP30?
Of course. And yet another acronym in the climate space. For those who might not be familiar, NDCs refer to the nationally determined contributions, and they are really central to the architecture of the Paris Agreement. At the end of the day, they are documents submitted by each country to the UNFCCC every 5 years. And the NDCs set out national efforts, targets and policies to reduce emissions and adapt to the impact of climate change. And it's important to reflect on where we actually stand today with NDCs. To date, 194 countries have submitted one. And of these, 87% mentions measures on buildings. Now, on the face of it, yeah, that looks pretty good. But if you scratch beneath the surface, many of these references to buildings lack credible implementation plans. That said, some NDCs are becoming increasingly detailed. Take the latest from the UAE, which sets out emission reduction targets for the building sector and calls out the specific policies that they intend to use to get there. With all countries required to update NDCs ahead of COP30 in 2025, I personally think we'll actually look back at the forum and see that it played quite a critical role in shaping these. The ministerial declaration itself has already seen 70 countries make strong commitments in the sector that we touched on. Many of these could be directly transposed into NDCs. I think that the events themselves also brought real confidence from non-state actors to national governments that business and industry is ready and that they see an opportunity in the sector's transition. And I heard multiple times many businesses calling for the regulatory roadmaps that provide clarity and market certainty to unlock their investment decisions. And this is actually a very, very topical week to be talking about this, because for any business operating in Europe, this pace of change has gotten a lot clearer this week. Because on Tuesday, the Energy Performance of Buildings Directive was passed through the European Parliament. This is a big milestone. And once formalised, this will level the playing field across Europe. And over the next 5 years, it'll drive retrofits, clean heating, and normalise whole life carbon across member states.
Well, I think what's really striking when you're describing everything that's happened across your time at the forum, at the pre-forum and the forum itself, is that there are these real tangible outputs from all of those discussions. And I think a real will within the industry to really make a difference with the information and the tools that are out there. There's so much to unpack there. If you had to highlight to our listeners some of the key takeaways from the forum, what would be your primary hit list for them?
As the forum drew to a close, the credit really has to go to France and the United Nations Environment Programme. What was a very long 2 days of very intense events, there was a really good energy and empowering mood in the room at the closing, and a much stronger sense of global clarity and unity on the way forwards. Now, don't get me wrong, it was well recognised that the hard work is ahead of us, and to that end, the forum really acted as a starting gun. But you couldn't have wished for a better starting gun. In terms of the key takeaways and messages, when I reflect back, a couple of things stood out to me. It was really noticeable how industry leaders are becoming a lot more vocal, with business leaders starting to recognise the opportunities in the transition. I felt they really stepped up their advocacy. The headline message coming out of the CEO roundtable to ministers was very clear and direct. You must be bold. The industry is ready. And multiple times we heard businesses calling for the clear and credible policy and regulatory roadmaps that gives them the market certainty to invest in. Secondly, and we touched on earlier, key takeaway, the international collaboration is emerging. This is particularly important for our sector, which really suffers from fragmentation, disaggregation. With the buildings breakthrough and the market transformation agenda key amongst these initiatives. And when I reflect back on last week, there was also a real emerging sense of global unity around tackling this problem. Perhaps more than I think I've seen before. One that recognises the need to embrace regional context and a willingness of all stakeholders to understand and embrace the complexities that this brings. Whether that's different climatic context, urbanisation pressures, affordability, a recognition that what works in London might not be appropriate in Nairobi. But notwithstanding these differences, the forum really showcased a strong unity around addressing this shared challenge. And I suppose lastly, it's always nice to come here and share some of the details. But for anyone listening, you could quickly get lost in these details. And we'd always try to say, take in the movie, not the still. Try to step back and see what's going on here. This forum and its achievements lie on an exponential curve of change. As the systems that shape our built environment, from policy, finance, demand, and supply, are beginning to be rewired in response to the effects of a warming world. And really, in a response to an emerging recognition that our lives are interdependent with the planet's natural systems. There is a long way to go, and there is so much complexity to grapple with. But the point to note is that the drivers shaping the pace and direction of travel are only becoming stronger. The message to business and industry here, then, is the safe way to navigate this transition is to get aligned as soon as possible. If you're sat waiting until you have absolute clarity on the nature of how this change will shape your business, you're simply going to miss it.
Thanks, Will. I really like that description you gave of the forum being this starting gun. And it also really strikes me as well when you say this exponential curve of change. I think a couple of years ago, this topic would have almost been, I think it's fair to say, a bit of a fringe topic. And what events like the forum really show, I think when you have that number of people in a room together that are invested in something, it shows what a real and live issue this is for the industry. But, you know, with that important caveat you gave that we are nowhere near on track in terms of where we need to be. But I think at least events like this show that there is the capacity and knowledge and will out there if all of those things can be harnessed. So thank you so much, Will. It's always such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. No doubt all of our listeners will be listening to you again in the future with some further updates. But thanks so much for such an interesting discussion.
At 39 Essex Chambers, we cover a vast array of practice areas and sectors. You can find out more about our expertise and our barristers at 39essex.com, where you can also see our extensive catalogue of articles, podcasts, and webinars.